Hello and welcome to the official EFL podcast as we hurtle towards the Easter weekend. This week, we chat to a League Two playoff contender as AFC Wimbledon boss Johnny Jackson talks us through their ambitions for the running.
Now, over these next six games now, we are going to have to sort of roll the dice at some stage and risk losing to try and win.
Speaking of League Two, David Stowell, he of Sky Sports, of course, joins us to look back on a busy weekend at both ends of that particular table and to preview the Easter fixtures across the EFL. And I'll tell you what, Patrick Bamford's joining us for a 72 in 72. Please press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never, ever miss an episode. Or you can watch the show on YouTube every single week. Let's get cracking. It's the official EFL podcast. So it's the podcast calm before the Easter storm. David Stowell, you'll be a very busy man. How are you, mate? You all right?
I'm good, Prats. Thank you. Yeah, you well?
I'm good. Looking forward to this weekend. Now, of course, we do it from the point of view and the vantage point of either me being sat on a sofa or you being stood on a gantry. And obviously, there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. But it's slightly more strenuous if you're actively involved in the games and the actual teams that are playing. Therefore, let's bring in AFC Wimbledon boss Johnny Jackson, who knows all about that after a ridiculously long playing career and now firmly ensconced as the boss there. Looking forward to it, Johnny. How's the preparations going?
Yeah, really good. Really looking forward to it. I think this is it's sort of a crucial part time of the season, isn't it? You know, certainly for us and where we find ourselves. So I think we'll know a lot more about where we may or may not end up or hopefully end up after these two games that are going to come back to back really, really quickly. So exciting times for me and for everyone involved with us. I'm sure up and down the country as well, but, you know, especially after an international break, there's a lot of football to look forward to over the weekend.
And the great thing as well about that international break, yes, there's teams that don't play. League Two was firmly in full swing. We all know that. We covered it. We enjoyed it. And you two were acquainted just 48 hours ago, covering the game in David Stowell, crew taking on AFC Wimbledon, and you were actively involved in it, Johnny. I don't need to introduce you. You two now know each other, but it seemed like the business got done pretty early in that game. Is that a fair summation, David Stowell?
Well, Johnny got his team going in a lively fashion at the start of both halves, really, and it was one of those where I was covering the game for Soccer Saturday, so standing up on the gantry in Crewe's Mournflake Stadium, as it's now known, and we'd barely got settled in, and AFC Wimbledon were one up, so it was that part of the team talk to get them really on their toes from the off, Johnny.
Well, it's always the plan, isn't it? It never normally works out like that, or certainly not as quick as that. That's probably the earliest we scored all season, to be honest. Really
90 seconds, wasn't it?
90 seconds, yeah. And for probably 10, 15 minutes after that, we continued, didn't we? And I thought maybe we could have got another one in that period. That would obviously made it more difficult for Crewe, but we let them back into it. And to be fair to them, they grew into the game and probably ended the first half on top. So, and then we come out second half and started that again well, but it was probably an evenly matched game. I mean, speaking to Lee after, I think we both agreed that it was probably a fair result on the balance of play. I felt like we was trying to win the game and push for it, but like you say, you would have seen the conditions up on that gantry. It was difficult to play. Probably didn't make it the greatest spectacle. Certainly in the second half, wasn't the best game of football you'll ever see. But it was tough out there for the boys. It was really windy and made it difficult to sort of get anything really going.
Off the back of that, it could be a point that could be huge come the end of the season. What's the chat like when you do go in after a game such as that with someone who is very much a rival in those particular places in the division?
Yeah, it was sort of as an opportunity to try and reel them in a little bit. Because if you look at a lot of the talk is that we're playing for maybe one place, seventh. Yeah. But if we'd have won that game, it would have gone down to 4 points between us and Crewe. And you never know, we might have been able to reel them in. Obviously not beating them makes that more difficult. We didn't lose any ground after, so it was important. I think still six games to go, so a point away from home at that stage is probably a good point, especially against a difficult opponent like that. Obviously, at some stage, draws aren't going to be good enough. So, you know, over these next six games now, we are going to have to sort of roll the dice at some stage and risk losing to try and win. And we done that Saturday. We tried to win the game, but it wasn't sort of cavalier and with a gung-ho sort of attitude, because I thought it was important not to lose as well. There'll be other opportunities for us to go for it, I think. But certainly the longer it goes and we are still the chaser rather than the chased, we are going to have to really go for it.
The funny thing, I suppose, about games at this stage of the season, certainly for us covering them from a sort of neutral point of view, is you mentioned that second half maybe against Crewe, it wasn't the best watch. But ultimately, there's always that jeopardy now, isn't there? Because we're getting towards the end of the season where, you know, it only has to be a mistake from somebody or a bizarre goal or a penalty that perhaps isn't a penalty or something that turns 1 point into three. And like you say, you then jump up the table, you reel Crewe in. All of a sudden, it's not just playoffs. It's how high up the playoff spots can you get or whatever, isn't it? A lot can change very quickly.
Yeah, especially with how much the league is crazy. You know, you look at how many teams are still vying for that 6th, 7th spot, how close the points tallies are. So the difference between losing and winning a game might be 6 places in the league. So, or even drawing and winning a game could be 5, 6 places in the league. So it really is that tight that the margins and the jeopardy on it are heightened, aren't they? And like I say, there will come a time. If we're in a similar spot to this with 3 games to go, we know that, you know, a draw, a point probably ain't going to be good enough. So we're going to have to really, really go for it and try and win, and to the point where you might leave yourself open and you can get beat. And that's it. That's the way it'll have to be if we're still chasing. So I just felt on Saturday that wasn't the game, wasn't the time, wasn't the opponent to go to Cavalier. And I think they felt something similar. Sounds like I'm saying that we were both playing out a draw, and I don't think that was the case. I think both teams were trying to win it, but certainly had one eye on not getting beat as well. And I think if you ask Lee as well, he'd probably say that he wasn't devastated with a point.
Just to broaden out in the sense of yourself and Terry being there at AFC Wimbledon, new contract signed in February. That's a broad reflection on what's been going really well, hasn't it, for yourself and the team moving forward. Any stipulations on the end of this season where playoffs have been firmly laid at your door saying that's what we want, please, Johnny, but we understand the pressure and the different teams that are involved in that particular fight?
At the start of the season, no, there wasn't any of that talk. As far as, an expectation, obviously we all wanted that, and I made that clear that that's what we're going to try and do. And a cup run was made, you know, that was made aware that a cup run would be nice as well. But I think the expectations, because of probably where we find ourselves as far as finances and spend and stuff like that, I think we knew where we were at, and that wasn't at the top end of the league with our resources. But we've managed to find ourselves in a position where we are probably punching above where perhaps we should be if you look at the finances and what we've been up against. So, of course, now, based on that and now the season's gone on a whole, people want you to finish in the playoffs. And I expect that expectation, and I want that, you know, because none of us are here to say, yeah, like, let's try and finish in mid-table and just have a nice comfy season. It's not why we do this. Perhaps, you know, I want to bring success to the football club. You know, to show faith in me with the new, me and Terry with the new deals, and obviously on the back of a difficult season last season, they showed that loyalty and that faith in me, and I want to repay that. And I think I'm doing that, but the ultimate way to do that would be to obviously get into the playoffs and get promoted. So that we're all focused on that. We understand that we're up against it and it's going to be difficult, but we've given ourselves a hell of a chance. And you know, if you look at where we was this time last year compared to where we are now, you know, the football club's moved on leaps and bounds. And if we don't quite make it in, it won't be through lack of effort and lack of trying. And we'll be in a great position next season to try and build on that again, and then just try and keep improving. So I think we've definitely moved the football club on, find ourselves in a really good place with a good opportunity, but we're just trying to get over that line.
We talk to you now, Johnny, as a manager who has to deal with players and all the emotions and the egos that come with a playing squad. Does it make you sort of chuckle a little bit when you think back to you being a player now that you're a manager and think about your journey and how managers have dealt with you and how it's all sort of come to this point?
And how emotional you were, Johnny, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I always try and liken it to my own experiences and think to myself, how would I would have wanted to be dealt with as a player? How would I have reacted to a manager doing this, doing that? And I think what I have learned quite quickly in this game is that when I probably first went into coaching, managing, I expected people to react and behave the way that I used to. And clearly, once you break that down, it's just so stupid to think that way. But that was probably something I had to learn quickly. You know, if I'd done something a certain way when I was a player, the way I trained, and I saw a player not doing that, I couldn't get my head around that to start with. And what I've learned to do now is realize that you're dealing, like you say, David, we're dealing with like 24, 25 fellas that are all different, completely different. Different stimuluses, reacting different ways to different circumstances. Some are high maintenance, some are low maintenance, and you have to manage all of that. So I try and deal with them all as people to start with, build a rapport with them as people, and try and have that relationship where I feel like they can talk to me about anything, really. But if you build up some trust, then it's always better. And the managers that got the most out of me were the ones that done that. You know, I always cite Chris Powell's, you know, if I look back on probably my most successful time as a player under Chris, I can't really remember loads about his sessions, technical side and the coaching, but I remember how he made me feel as a player. And he made me feel 10 foot tall going onto a football pitch, and he gave me that confidence, he gave me the armband, and he showed that faith in me, and that made me a better player and want to do better for him as well. So that's what I try and do. But you have to recognise that everyone's different, and they're certainly different to me as well.
It's like dealing with commentators, I'll be honest, Johnny. The prima donnas and the histrionics and the ups and the downs. Oh, no, they're going to be all right this week. But some of them are better than others. I'm sure you'll agree with me on that. Just because we've got you here, and it's just chucking it back a couple of weeks before we head back towards what Ace is going to bring. The AFC Wimbledon MK Dons game was just one that was filled with pure emotion. You'll be very wary of that, of course, because you are steering that particular ship of what the history of this football club is, the thought process and the relationship between those of an AFC Wimbledon persuasion, those of an MK Dons persuasion. But to watch that game, to see that game, yes, it might have a bearing on where you end up at the end of the season, of where MK Dons might end up at the end of the season. But in isolation, that game, the end to it, you talk about what it's like to be a player and the emotions in that, but as a manager in that particular game, what's that like?
It crazy putts, to be honest. It was like, obviously I played in some big games in my career, some big occasions, some big derbies, and although, you know, it's the fourth tier, because of the history of that game, and now having been at the football club for like nearly 2 years, I fully get it and understand how it affected everyone in the community, the supporters, and everything, all the effort and hurt and heartache and all that that's gone into reforming our football club and starting from the bottom to get to where we are, to get to position to play against MK in the same league. Like, it's an unbelievable story. It's amazing, and it means so much. So you can't help but get carried away by that. And we had got to be honest, we had an absolute shocker at their place. Where we was 3-0 down after 20 minutes and sitting there thinking, wow, like, this can't be happening. And then we got back into the game and then get two men sent off. And it was just a bit of a disastrous night. But the great thing about football is you get a chance to right those wrongs, and that was sort of what we said to the lads, and it was such a tense, big occasion, and you could just feel it. And like I say, I played in some big games, and that's so up there as far as an occasion with anything that I've dealt with, certainly in my management career as well. So for it to end the way it did, you know, it's
what makes football great, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
And I think it'll never be bettered.
I think all over the country, you know, people were looking at that, and because of the story and because of the rivalry and stuff like that, there's no getting away from it that it's important to the people involved. It was important for me in my career to have a moment like that, and it was important for us to get a result on the back of some tricky ones as well. Yeah. And we've gone on from that and hit a bit of form, basically. So we needed a win at all on the day. We needed a win, and certainly we needed a performance in that game. And we produced it, and we got our moment. And honestly, it was, you know, I've ended up getting carried away, and I ran down the touchline looking like a bit of a wally. But I literally, in that moment, couldn't help myself. I don't want to make a habit of that, because, you know, try and keep me calm a little bit more. But in that moment, it was. It's why you do it. It's why you support a team. It's why you go and watch football, and it's why we played. And now I'm managing for moments like that.
It's such an emotional game, isn't it? It's an emotional business being a manager. How do you sort of look after yourself, if you like, in that mental sense? Because obviously you're looking after your squad to a degree. You talk about being an approachable manager, which is important in this day and age with everything going on. But how do you sort of keep your own emotions ticking along and try and keep a clear head going into match days and the general day-to-day life as a manager?
It's hard. It is really hard. And, you know, if you ask me, missing, she'd say, you're never here. And even when you are here, you're not really here anyway. Because I think that goes with the territory. You know, you have to put you have to put everything into it. I try and have I've got two kids, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a dad. Like, you have to try and be present when you are here. But, you know, it is all consuming. And, probably enjoy a glass of wine or beer a little bit more than I used to after a game to try and wind down sometimes. But it's always, you don't ever get that long to enjoy it. It's sort of, because it's always on to the next. So, I try not to get too high or too low. And I sort of stock answer. But, you know, if you do, you can end up like that, you know, because 1 minute you've got the Milton Keynes moment, and if you revel in it too long, well, you know, you're getting kicked out the backside because you're going to throw away, and if you don't turn up properly there, you're going to get done. So just throw myself into the work, and then spend time with the family, just trying to have moments where you take a breather, but it never lasts too long, really.
So, 6 games to go. This season feels like it's absolutely flown by. You currently sit 9th, just a point outside the playoff places. Harrogate, Stockport, Salford, Swindon, Tranmere, Walsall. Then the regular season for this 2023-24 season is done. Are we looking at a position where we're going to be talking about you in the playoffs?
I bloody hope so, perhaps. You know, that's what we're all working towards. And I honestly think it's going to go really, might go down to the last day. And I don't think that'll be just for us. I think there'll be a few teams still in the mix. I mean, the way I've looked at it, I think the reason that the league, certainly where we are, is so tight and bunched up is because the teams are obviously really evenly matched. No one goes on a 6-game winning run, really, because just not capable of sustaining that. So teams get beat, they'll win the next game, they might pick up a point, but it's sort of, everyone keeps beating everyone else. So we literally have, when there were 10 games to go, I sort of brought the group together. I said, look, 10 games to go, I think we was 2 points outside at that stage. So we give ourselves an unbelievable shot at doing something special here. It's 10 games. At that stage, it was like 8 weeks. It's about 4 weeks now, isn't it? And it's going to be done. Like, before you know it, it's over. Like, So let's just as a group, just give it everything that we've got. Stay positive. If we lose a game, it's one of them. At this stage, there's no repercussion there. It's brush yourself down. We're going again and win the next one. And you hear must win and stuff like that. And I don't like that term because it's like, well, what happens if you don't? And you're going to pack up and not bother with it. With a rep. But you know what I mean? If you get beaten back in that game, it's on to the next. So we've got fixtures that are winnable. We've got, but you've seen enough of the leagues, you guys, to know that anyone can have you up on your day if you ain't quite on it and stuff like that. So I just don't want to have any regrets. I want it to be that we went for it. We went for it. And if we fail going for it, you know, I can live with that. Fail is probably the wrong word. If we don't quite make it, having a right go, I can live with that. But I think on our day, well, we've shown that we are capable of mixing it with anyone in the league. You know, Mansfield top of the league, top or second today. We took 4 points off of them. Yeah, they're top. We had two really good games with them, gone toe to toe, took 4 points off them. So we are capable. But if we come off it, we can get beat by anyone. You know, we've got Stockport away. Monday's a really tough game, isn't it? Especially where they find themselves and what they're fighting for. So there's no gimmies. I know that much. There's no gimmies. Harrogate. On Good Friday, they're not out of it for the playoff thing. So they're coming to win. And it's going to be the same up and down the country in our league. You know, Crawley sit in that spot now, but they've got some tough games. You know, I think they've got to go to Wrexham. I think they play Mansfield. So, like, I don't think anyone's going to go. Personally, I don't see anyone going to win 6-7 in a row. I think there's still going to be some turns in it for me, but, just it'd be great going into that last game, Walter at home again. We're right in the mix.
Could be all on that, couldn't it?
It could be, yeah. It could be. Like, if we can go into that game with something on it, you know, I would take that right now.
Johnny, I mean, it's been. I mean, the way you described it there is absolutely what it is. It's carnage. It could be anything. It could be any permutation that possibly the results give. I just want to say thanks for giving us your time. I know it's busy. I know you're off to football training in a minute, not with the team, with your son, which is wonderful. But again, ahead of a very, very busy Easter weekend, it's so great to hear the insider's take on it. And obviously with new BFF, David Stowell, ably assisting me, you two are firm friends now, which is lovely to see. So, Johnny, we're going to bid you adieu. Thank you so much for joining us, mate. We're rooting for you. We're going to keep an eye on it over the course of the
Easter welcome, guys.
Weekend. Thanks, brilliant guys. Stuff, mate.
Cheers, David. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Johnny.
Thank
David
you.
Stowell, you can have a little break. You've got a little mid-pod rest because this week's 72 in 72 is Leeds United's Patrick Bamford. And a quick warning for this one for flash photography.
Hi, I'm Patrick Bamford and this is the 72 in 72. Leicester, Ipswich, Leeds, Southampton, Coventry, Hull, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Swansea, Cardiff, Bristol City, Plymouth, Stoke, Cardiff. Stoke, Birmingham, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham, Stockport, Barnsley, Leighton Orient, Carlisle, MK Dons, Wimbledon, Oxford, Wrexham, Notts County, Barnsley, Lincoln, Portsmouth, Derby, I think I'm done. What, how many seconds I got? 22 still. Oh. Burton Albion, Colchester United, Torquay, Tranmere, Hartlepool, don't know if they're still in it. Missed some from Tranmere.
A fantastic score there by Patrick Bamford in our 72 in 72. Very much troubling the top end of the table. A bit like Leeds United, and we'll come on to them in due course. But coming off the back of that wonderful chat with Johnny Jackson Stowley, what a tremendous fellow he is. And you are as well, of course. he's trying to get him and AFC Wimbledon back into the playoff places. I had the pleasure of John Coleman's company along with Daryl Clark at the weekend on Sky Sports. He knows all about League Two, of course. He's looked at the top three because we did the Stockport MK Dons game where there was a bit of jeopardy going into that. Stockport County resolutely put MK Dons to bed, which left the top three as Mansfield at the top, even though, of course, they drew with Colchester United. Stockport leapfrogging Wrexham back into second spot. And, of course, the Welsh side occupying third. John Coleman's token it was. That's the top three boxed off. Whether it's that way around, we don't know. Is that something you'd agree with?
Well, first thing to say is John has managed 1,000 games and then some. So I can't really disagree with him when he says something
utter rubbish, Coleman,
like that, can I? I think he's right, though, albeit there's a caveat to that. And that is, for example, Mansfield play Wrexham at Wrexham on Good Friday. So obviously, if, let's say, for example, Mansfield were to win and win well, then it damages Wrexham, not just in terms of they don't pick up the points, but they take a bit of a beating on the goal difference, and then things can unravel psychologically from there, or say it went the other way and Mansfield lost. You know, there's things like that. But I do think that those three are the strongest teams in the league. They're in the top three for a reason, and the rest are chasing for a reason. And yeah, the tough thing would be at this stage to predict where they're actually going to finish in that top three. Albeit, I mean, I, as we've discussed already, I was at Crewe at the weekend, and Crewe are capable of playing a lot better than they did on the day, but they were playing against a tough side in FC Wimbledon. So there are teams that are going to perform well in the games that remain and maybe grab those extra points, which make a difference. But it's hard to see past those top three now. And, you know, particularly when Stockport County taking on MK Dons, and it was billed as who's going to come out on top here? This will be a tight one. And they blew them away by 5-0. So, I mean, you know, there is real strength in those top three.
Just a quick one, because Johnny's gone now and he alluded to the fact that the game wasn't a classic. What was your take on it as a correspondent?
I would agree with what Johnny said. I think the kindest way to put it is that both sides are in their league positions because they are very good sides with quality, and they can produce magic moments. They just didn't produce too many of them on that particular day. But the goals were good. And I think it came down to the fact that the two sides really cancelled each other out. Mm-hmm. And as Johnny said, you wanted to try and win the game. You desperately didn't want to lose it. If Crewe had lost that game, AFC Wimbledon then are tucked in right behind them. It all tightens up in that top 7, 8, 9 positions in the league. So it was important that neither side lost it. So maybe they would have shaken on a point after 13 minutes when the equaliser went in. I'm not sure.
Well, we all have off days. I'm yet to have an on day, so I'm not going to sit here in judgment. So MK Dons sit fourth. Crewe, Barrow, Crawley. Awesome work being done with regards to Crawley jumping into the playoff places. Gillingham in eighth and AFC Wimbledon in ninth. Walsall behind them in 10th. That could be a key game, couldn't it, come the end of the season, that final day showdown between AFC Wimbledon and Walsall. They had a kickoff at the weekend, so Mansfield, top of the league, draw with Colchester United. Now, it gets very, very interesting at the bottom because Forest Green going great guns under Steve Cotchell there, now find themselves at the bottom. Sutton above them with a game played more. Colchester with 3 games in hand on Sutton and with 2 games in hand on Forest Green. Colchester on 34 points, Sutton and Forest Green on 33 apiece. And looking at the run-ins of each of these three teams, it looks like Sutton have got the toughest one. Did we see enough from Colchester at the weekend? That kind of fortitude, that resilience to get a point against the league leaders to suggest that even though it does look very, very close, the bottom two could be the bottom two come the end of the season?
Well, at this stage, I look at points, obviously, because points are what make the league table. So you've got to obviously bear all that in mind.
Football in a nutshell, guys.
There you go. Job done. But also goal difference, because that can be so important when everything's so tight. And Sutton United minus 26, Forest Green Rovers minus 27, Colchester United minus 19. So even that tiny edge of 7 or 8 goals difference could be huge. It could be worth an extra point. They've already got an extra point. As you say, they've got games in hand as well. So Colchester United would be the favourites to get out of trouble at this stage. Mm-hmm. That said, they are the draw specialists at the moment in League Two, aren't they, under Danny? They rarely lose, but they also rarely win. So it's that whole thing of at this stage of the season, if you win one, someone wins one and someone else draws two and loses one, you're better off from having just won that one game than if you've drawn two and played really well. Mm-hmm. So that could come back to haunt them, or it might be what saves them. And we just don't know. I said this to Johnny and to Lee Bell at the weekend, sort of asking the question, you know, do you feel like this is 2 points dropped, or is it the point that makes the difference at the end that gets you up or into the playoffs? And that's what we're dealing with now, isn't it? It's those fine margins. Sutton may be on the march, back-to-back wins for the first time this season, a wonderful goal from Nino Adamlaki in there as well. And, you know, you just sort of see things developing. There was a point when we were sort of saying, well, Sutton and Forest Green are gone. Forget it. See you later. But they're right there now. And Grimsby have given themselves breathing space. So you'd think that maybe they're okay. 6 points clear of the drop with, what have they got, 8 games to play now. But you just don't want to rule anybody out, because if Sutton keep this little winning run going, they beat Accrington at the weekend. And, you know, it's fascinating because no one can breathe easily at this stage, really. And even clubs who are technically safe and not going up, you want to finish as high as you can because you want that investment for next season so the team becomes better. So it's the next few weeks, the next couple of months is massive for everybody.
Be enthralling, won't it? Let's go from the bottom end of League 2 to the bottom end of League 1. Carlisle, Fleetwood, Cheltenham, Port Vale make up those four relegation spots. Again, I talked about John Coleman being a guest of ours. Darrell Clark was as well, very much looking forward to this weekend. I mean, they've got key games, of course. They face Fleetwood, who were just below them in the table. They do have a couple of games in hand on Fleetwood. They've got a game in hand on both Port Vale and Cambridge, who are just outside of those relegation spots. And again, I think we've discussed this in the past. The form that they've shown since Darrell took over broadly would have them way, way up and safe and able to enjoy the end of the season rather than kind of sitting there with the white knuckle ride very much in full swing. The permutations that we talked about at the bottom end of League Two, there's a similarity, isn't there, to what we're seeing at the bottom end of League One. Cambridge United perhaps being a case in point. They've got a very experienced manager from a high level. I mean, maybe we're seeing Gary Monk look at this level of football and think, well, yes, it'd be nice to have a few weeks to get my feet under the table, but there's a sense of being parachuted in to make sure that they get somewhere near safety. Again, I'm not asking you for a definitive of who you see come the end of the season from what we can look at now, but there seems to be a lot of traction in this end of this division as well as, of course, League Two and in a minute when we talk about the Championship.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's tightened up a little bit of late in the last couple of weeks, because there was a point when you could go up to Exeter City in 15th, Charlton, Shrewsbury, Reading, and really look at them all and think they're all right in the mix. Now we're perhaps ruling some, if not maybe all, of those teams out now. Reading have done really well. The young group of players they've got there to get 42 points.
So much going
count out of 39 games. Obviously, they had the deduction there as well. So they've done well to stay above that dotted line. And it looks like they will stay in League One next season. I fear for the rest of all the bottom six, four from six, I think it is now, albeit that could change with the games ahead. But it's Burton, Cambridge, Port Vale, Cheltenham, Fleetwood and Carlisle. Carlisle, I think we've lost, you know, 15 points adrift. I don't think it's a huge breaking story for me to say that at this point, which is six or seven games to go. And it was a shame that they're in the position they're in, because I covered the playoff final last season and the semi-final win against Bradford. And they were terrific. They really punched... to say punched above their weight is a bit unfair, really, because they were a really good footballing unit, and Paul did a great job to galvanise them and to get them to where they were.
That in itself was a lovely story, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
What he's been through as in his personally, of course, with their kind of health travails, but also what he means to Carlisle. And I think we may have discussed it in the last few months or so, that little bit of... very overt, if you can have a little bit of something very overt, that overt frustration seen by a section of the fan base, when you're kind of looking at it, obviously not knowing Carlisle firsthand at all, but you're kind of going, come on, if anyone deserves a bit of slack, it's Paul Simpson at Carlisle United, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a shame to see the season has gone the way it has gone with that in mind, really. But then you talk about teams like Cheltenham, and Darrell's gone in and done a very good job there. I liken that a little bit to the Danny Royal situation at Sheffield Wednesday, where he's come in and caught the eye and he's done a great job and they've picked up a lot of points, but they're still in there in trouble. And the same with Cheltenham, because there are lots of teams in the relegation mix in these various EFL divisions. They're all starting to pick up, have a few little setbacks, pick up again, which means they're all still there in trouble. And you know, the games in hand for Cheltenham, or the game in hand over some of the sides, could be key to making the difference.
Let's jump all the way to the top. Portsmouth, who have seemingly had a five-point gap for ages. They keeps going and going and going. Helped, of course, by Derby County in action at the weekend, losing against Northampton, against a real sense of frustration for Rams fans. But they do remain second. Bolton behind them in third, 4 points off them, but they do have a game in hand. Then we've got Peterborough, Barnsley, Oxford, Stevenage and Lincoln City, possibly all the way down to Blackpool, and maybe even squeeze Orient into that one.
Well, Lincoln, I'm not going to count Richie Wellens out because, you know, you never want to count Richie Wellens out. No, so keep Orient in there for now.
And of course, as you work your way down to where Barnsley are in fifth, that five-point gap between Oxford and Orient means that everybody still is firmly in play. I think maybe when you look at how the last few weeks have gone, and I mentioned it to Juliet Ferrington on last week's podcast about the goal-scoring form of Lincoln City and how you hit this particular portion of the season, momentum being the key word. And dear listener, if you are watching our coverage on Sky Sports with regards to that, momentum will be the word that's most used when it comes to any form of playoff chat. Does it feel, without tempting fate for Portsmouth, that this is the season that they've done it? They're back, they're in the Championship next year?
Well, you've asked me that on previous pods, and I'll give you the same answer. The answer is no, but it's fine because I think the answer is yes. Because every time I come on again and you ask me the question, they're in either a better or the same position as they were previously. So the answer has to be the same, really, because we're getting closer to the end. But I just think that they've done so well to not only get ahead of the other teams who are talked about in this division, as indeed they are themselves, but to stay there with the injury issues they've had. And it's interesting that the whole Derby County thing at the weekend, because had they beaten Northampton, which many people expected them to do, they'd have gone 7 points clear of Bolton and really made that second spot their own, albeit Bolton with a game in hand, but a 7-point gap between themselves and Derby County. And we could have almost then seen some people saying, well, that's the top two boxed off. It's all about who wins the title. Of course, now there's only 4 points between Bolton and Derby, and Bolton have that game in hand. So it's game on again. And, you know, this is the way that these games can be interpreted at this stage of the season, is you can got so much to gain, or you've potentially got so much that someone else can gain because you haven't done the job that you were expected to. And on the subject of Derby and Northampton, plaudits to Northampton Town, I think, have to go at this point, because, you know, they're nearer to the playoffs than to relegation, having come up last season. John Brady got a new deal in January. They missed out on the playoffs a couple of years ago because of that crazy result at the end of the season with Bristol Rovers. And last season, we were there on the last day when they managed to get the job done. Sam Hoskins with the goal, as indeed it was at the weekend. So fair play to them to be mid-table. And at this stage, 10 points off the playoffs is a cracking season for the Cobblers.
Definitely a job well done. Right into the Championship, some cracking games over the course of the weekend, bothering both ends of the table. And it's fascinating because we're going to get Leicester City back in league action, which seems like it's been quite well, hasn't it? The early kickoff on Friday, they're away at Bristol City. And obviously in that time, there's someone else at the top of the league. Someone else has leapfrogged them. Leeds United have closed what was a 17-point gap between these two specific teams, but would have been quite a hefty gap when we watched them Leeds against Leicester several Fridays ago. The job that Enzo Maresca has done has been terrific. End of sentence. But in the sense of what we know of them, what we've seen from them, the pace that they have set and we're setting, any concerns at all that we're going to get a Leicester City side that have dominated for two-thirds of the season, but may end up in the playoffs?
Well, I guess this is where footballers play football because they're good at football, and football managers get jobs because they're good at managing football teams. But at this stage of the season, there's more to it than that, isn't there? There's the mental side of it all. There's can you handle the pressure, not just kick the ball around well? And this is the big challenge for Leicester City now, is they set the pace. They were clear. We were talking about Reading's points, record points total being smashed or at least beaten. It's hard to smash such a good total. but that was what it was all about, wasn't it? How quickly will Leicester get promotion? How many points will they get? When will they break 100 points and all of this? Now, they've got a real fight on their hands, albeit points per game, they're top of the table. And I'm sure that's what will be talked about in,
yes,
in the camp, is they've got the game in hand. So if you do the points per game thing, they're top. But obviously, logistically, now Leeds United are there, mm-hmm, and have shown great form. They've got that wonderful sort of Elland Road aura, if you like, around games, that's going to be huge for them in the matches that remain. And when we talk about pressure, we look at Ipswich Town, who many have rightly sort of said there's no pressure on Ipswich Town, really, because they've done amazingly well, having been a League One side last season. So this is where I think it becomes fascinating, and not just from a footballing point of view. Can you hold your nerve? Can you get the job done? And the key thing, I suppose, is you don't, over the next, what is it, eight games for Leeds, nine games for Leicester, mm-hmm, City, you don't have to play this amazing brand of attacking football and be the world's greatest football team over the next couple of months. You just need to get over the line and get the job done. And it's going to be a really interesting mental battle as well as a physical battle. And you mentioned the games, and we've got them all live on Sky over the next few matches, you know, Ipswich and Leeds and Leicester. And it's just going to be really interesting to watch, to cover, to, you know, put them under the microscope, yeah, and see how they all react.
That's a great thing, isn't it? Because as we said, I mean, Leeds taking on Watford, then Hull City on the Monday. Ipswich playing Southampton on Monday, which is currently, as the table sits, third versus fourth. West Brom look nicely ensconced. I mean, they've almost kind of bagged in fifth place, and it looks like no one's going to get wrestle it off them. Norwich City, you've got to talk about with the form that they're in, pushing their way into the playoffs. Hull City, not played in, what, 2.5, maybe 3 weeks, given, of course, other teams that they were playing against in FA Cup action. Speaking of FA Cup action, Coventry City in eighth. My word. Surely the momentum that you get from that wonderful result catapults you into this Easter weekend, looking to really reaffirm their playoff hopes. Preston and Boro and Cardiff, and I'm officially stopping at Cardiff. They're 11th on 53 points. But it does seem, as I said, with regards to what West Brom have done and how they've done it, that there are 6 teams looking to get into sixth spot.
Yeah. I mean, this is where it's crazy. And this is where I kind of look at form a little bit, because over the last 8 games, top of the table in terms of form, Leeds United 22 points. Just beneath them by a point, Ipswich Town 21 points. And then you've got 3 teams who in the last 8 games have won 17 points, and that's Norwich City, West Brom and Preston. So they're all looking good for sort of pushing up the table in their respective spots. Southampton and Sheffield Wednesday next, then, with 15 each. And then you find Leicester. So in the last 8 games, they've picked up 13 points, which is only one more than Queen's Park Rangers. So it shows the sort of dip for Leicester City, and the fact that Leeds United have won 9 more points than them in the last 8 games. So, you know, when you look at things like that, it's hard to make a case for certain teams making it up into those playoff spots, but also other teams losing their playoff spot. West Bromwich Albion, it's been a remarkable season. Carlos Corbran has done great things there, and I think that he doesn't necessarily get the credit he deserves, because West Brom is a big club, and people just say, well, they should be there because they're a big club. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes there. Not just, it's important to look past the badge sometimes, isn't it?
I think as well, the vibe that you get out of the Hawthorns, and either speaking to local journos or fans, is the unbelievably high esteem that Carlos has been held in because of the job that he's done, as you say, in the face of what has been going on off the pitch. And seemingly now, with the takeover ratified, completed, signed off, I think Baggies fans are hoping that this fifth place, whether it is fifth place, it should be at least in the playoffs, is then going to be a step to something brighter, better, more functional going forward for West Brom, isn't it?
Yeah, and I tell you what, whoever is in those playoff spots come the end of the season, it's going to be a fascinating ride to see who gets up. It'll be obviously brilliant for a club and terrible for the other three and for the teams who don't get there. But for neutrals watching on, it's going to be incredible.
Couple of key games across the weekend at the bottom. QPR taking on Birmingham City. Stoke taking on Huddersfield Town. Once again, we talk about good work being done by managers in and around there. Danny Rowe, you mentioned at Sheffield Wednesday, they're still in the bottom three. The Huddersfield Town have had a new boss, of course. Birmingham City now with Gary Rowett in charge to hopefully lead them towards some form of safety. QPR just above them, 40. Stoke, 41. Plymouth, Blackburn, and again, possibly up to Millwall, you'd say.
Yes, there's only a four-point gap, isn't there, between Huddersfield and Millwall. I suppose there's a fair bit of traffic between them in terms of clubs, but in terms of points, yeah, there's not a lot of difference between those two. And you'd think Swansea, 7 points clear of the drop at this stage, 8 games to play, should be fine.
Should be fine.
But that's the Championship.
Should be fine.
You never know. They won't want to be thinking like that yet.
No. I mean, as ever, David Stowell, succinctly put, there's one last item on the agenda, isn't there? Because as much as we've discussed just then teams trying to get out of the EFL and into the Premier League, we welcome somebody back, both the manager and the club, very fondly, that have just climbed back into the EFL, don't we?
We do. Yes, congratulations to Chesterfield, who've not only really impressed us from the start of the season to very nearly the end, but have got up so early. I mean, what are we? We're at the end of March. They can enjoy themselves through April because they've got the job done, and they can watch the playoff chaos behind them in the National League to see who joins them in the EFL. But yeah, I mean, they were outperforming Wrexham and Notts County, who set an incredible pace last season. In the early stages of the season, they were outperforming them. They've just banged goals in for fun. They missed a chance to celebrate promotion in midweek when they went ahead, but then eventually lost to Halifax Town. But winning at the weekend, doing it in style. I know Lee Hendry was watching the game and just kept waxing lyrical about how they were playing. And they've been doing that all season. So credit to Paul Cook and the guys there. And yeah, we look forward to seeing them back in the EFL from next season.
I mean, it's such a great point to make. And I'm probably being slightly facetious when I say this, but the big story is about Wrexham and Notts County coming up. And I mean, all power to ownership and the accessibility of camera crews and documentaries. And I mean, somewhere out there in a parallel universe, Stowley, there's Hollywood looking after Chesterfield, isn't it?
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because I've covered the National League in quite a few years ago. I was there covering Wrexham and various other teams in the non-league, and you know it's a brilliant league to cover, but it's an awful league to be in because you know with respect to the National League, you don't want to be there. You want to be in the EFL,
yes.
And it's so difficult to get out of the National League because every season someone drops down who really makes it competitive, but there's already a load of teams who are doing their best to fund themselves to get up. The games are great. There are always goals. There's always excitement. It's one thing that Chesterfield fans now will look back on with great delight that they are out of that or shortly to be out of it and up into the EFL because it's so tricky to get out. I mean, obviously, just ask Wrexham. Took them a fair old while to get out of the non-league into the Football League. But we've got them back and we look forward to seeing Chesterfield from August.
We do indeed. Well done to Paul Cook and everyone involved with Chesterfield. And well done to you, David Stowell. It's another podcast that I've thoroughly enjoyed your company with. What's your Easter weekend looking at?
Chaos. not everywhere, but I'm all over the place. Mm-hmm. But looking forward to it. It's a right mixed bag of stuff to get my teeth into. So, looking forward to that. And hopefully we get some fun and games and plenty of goals.
Amen to that. I shall see you, my friend, next time. So we've had all of the good guys this week. A huge thank you to David Stowell, Johnny Jackson and Leeds' Patrick Bamford. Get following us and find us in all the usual places, wherever you get your podcasts or watch it all on YouTube. And I sincerely hope you all have an amazing Easter. My name's David Prutton and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.